everyone, it's your girl Maya, and you were tuned into Culture Radio, and you heard it here first, only on The Culture. Yeah.
Peace to the gods. Yeah. Peace to the gods. Recognize. Go chin, military, and hey, this shit. Yo, yo, it's the Chan Gang, annihilating the cities and mainlands. You lame ass rappers ain't never been up for slay man. I slay men when they refuse to stick to the game plan. Slugs through the rape.
What's going on, podcast world? It is your girl Slick Nick, and we are back with another week, but it's me, it's your girl Slick Nick. Thank you for tuning in, thank you for listening. I'm surrounded by some amazing black kings in the building, and you know I always start to my left, so I got Ballgin LJ in the building.
Podcast world, it is your girl Slick Nick, and we are back, biggity biggity back. Oh, you like that? I'm in my 90s bag.
I like that.
But we are back with another episode, a new week, and I got some people coming right now. Of course, you know, I always start to my left. And of course, it's no other than No Name Nell.
Yo, what's happening? What's going on, man? I'm here. I'm here early.
It's early. Me,
No Name Nell. You know my name. Stop playing with me.
And we have two other guests, but you know, sometimes we be running on CPT time. So, yes, they'll be here soon. But for right now, No Name Nell.
What's happening?
How you doing? How was your week?
It was good. It was slow, but good. I didn't have any bad days. I could say that, you know. So I enjoyed it. Enjoyed the weekend. Enjoyed Father's Day.
I see you got your mask on.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to meet compliance, man, and I'm not trying to get sick, right? They said they opened up the state a few days ago, but yeah, for some reason people are still getting sick. So we probably shouldn't have did that.
I mean, I'm okay.
You're okay for now.
You're okay for now. Not for now. I'm okay.
You're okay right now.
What you do for Father's Day?
I didn't do too much of nothing. I just chilled at the house, you know. And then my baby girl surprised me. She's 4.
Aww.
She surprised me. So we hung out for a little bit, and that was pretty much about it. You know, Father's Day for me is not a real big holiday like it might be for some other people. I appreciate it, but yeah, no, I don't celebrate it like some people might.
I mean, all we did was, hey, everybody, hey, Tonio, hey, Bree. For everybody that's listening, if you haven't ever watched live via my Facebook, make sure you add me, Nikki Cole, on Facebook. Like my page, Slick Nick, SlickNikk. Mm-hmm. So you can watch live and comment and be interactive with everybody as talking about it live. So tonight's topic is really mental health in black men.
Okay.
Because with everything going on in the world, I feel like it adds to y'all mental health. I don't want to call them issues because they're not issues.
Okay.
But I feel like it adds to, yes, for the light. Yes. I feel like with everything going on, it adds to everything. It's another layer of stress, I guess, for lack of better words, that you can say.
Okay.
But before we get there, you know, I always start off light. So we're going to start off light.
Okay. Let's do that.
How you feel about Chicago opening up? What first of all, what phase is Orlando in? Because Chicago's going into phase 4.
I think we're in phase 3 right now. I think Florida's in phase 2. We're in phase 2. Trying to get to phase 3. I don't know if we'll make it to phase 3 because some places are shutting back down because the cases are starting to go up again. Yeah. Well, listen. If it's not good for one place, it's probably not good for another. So yeah, Florida's in phase 2. I'm like I said, I'm not a big fan, but we've had this discussion maybe like what, 3-4 shows ago,
mm-hmm,
about this reopening thing and going back outside and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a month since then, and I'm still not comfortable going back outside.
For me, it's very minimal though. Like I'll go outside. I've gone outside as a couple of people. No, I've been outside.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I just came back from Georgia, so I've been outside. But I'm not, like, outside.
Outside? Like,
yeah.
Like, cookouts?
Like, I'm not going to the beach. I'm not, you know, I'm not doing, like, outside activities. See, I'm not going to the amusement park.
See, I don't think the beach is that bad, depending on how many people are there.
Mm, I mean,
the amusement park, I probably wouldn't risk.
Yeah, I'm not going to the amusement park.
Church, I probably wouldn't risk.
Yeah, because everybody stays so close.
Yeah, the club probably wouldn't risk.
Well, for the people that went to house parties, I feel like can't really say that they wouldn't go to a club.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go to a house party either. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's like a little small get-together, you know what I'm saying? 10-person maximum.
10-person maximum.
10-person maximum, you know? That's the kind of house party I'm trying to get with.
Yeah, okay.
You know, a little Monopoly or something.
Whatever. Bianca just said New York just hit phase two.
New York just hit phase two. New York need to shut down. New York needs to...
But they clean the trains. And they haven't cleaned the trains in like... Ever.
Man, stop
ever.
It.
Ever.
Stop it. And they will probably never clean them again. You know how many people probably live down there?
I'm sure a lot of people live in the train station.
Yeah, listen. If you are
But
in
they
New
cleaned
York,
the train. The 6th train was sparkly.
If anybody on here is from New York or is listening in New York, stay home. Stay at home. Do not go outside New York. There's entirely too many people. Entirely too many people.
But what about the people that just went up to visit now? Because now that people can fly.
It's too risky. It's too risky. What are you going to visit for? Anything that's there will be there after this.
It's New York. When don't you want to visit New York?
I'm just saying anything that you're going to see is going to be there after this is over. I guarantee it.
I mean, okay. I can see your point. But I guess, you know, people have a sense of urgency.
No, there's no sense of urgency when getting sick. You know,
I mean,
when you're trying to do stuff like that, you really gotta you gotta rethink exactly what it is you're doing.
Bianca said, Florida is the one out of control. New York slander will not be tolerated.
No, Bianca is incorrect. Florida.
She said you're incorrect.
Incorrect. All right. Now we do have some wild people in Florida, but New York is out of control as far as the virus goes. Now, we do act wild, you know, wild smoking black and miles in Florida. But we do not compare to people in New York as far as getting sick goes.
You think so?
I think so. There's no way.
I've lived in both, so I don't.
So what do you think?
I don't know. Like, there's a lot of people in New York. But there's a shitload of people in Orlando, too.
Not anywhere near what New York is.
I mean, tomato, tomato. A lot of people is a lot of people.
Tomato my ass. Listen, if you go out in New York, there's so many people walking the streets, you know, as compared to Orlando. There's not that many people walking, unless you're going iDrive.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it depends on where you go in Orlando. There's still people.
Even then, iDrive doesn't compare to the 30th busiest street in New York.
The
30th? The 30th busiest
what's
street.
What's your
As far as
what's your not?
Foot traffic goes. There's no way. There's absolutely no way.
Oh my god. Okay. We're gonna
It's
agree.
Too hot here.
So
you walk
does
out
that mean?
You walk outside and you walk outside and you'll pass out. I swear.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. If you haven't drinking water, if you don't drink water for 4 days straight before going outside in Florida, you're guaranteed
four
to fall
days
out.
Straight.
At least 4 days straight. I don't know how many hours that is, but if you don't drink water for 4 days straight before going outside in that Florida sun, you're gonna pass out. Guaranteed.
Have you passed out?
Yes, I have.
No, you haven't. Okay, so hey, so our Yo. One of our fashionably late guests just pulled up. Mr.
What's
Rashawn
up?
Brown.
Young
turn
King.
The camera on nice you. What's up? What's up?
How y'all doing?
So before or while we're getting into it. Just really wanted to catch up with what we were talking about. We were just talking about Orlando being in phase 2.5.
Two.
And Chicago area. About to go into phase 4, opening up. How do you feel? Before we get into the meat and potatoes, how you feel about outside opening up?
Oh, you gotta put his mask on. You gotta put his mask on so we don't get sick in here.
All right.
Trying to prevent the sickness. Because we care for here in Florida.
Now,
in New York, they're not as careful.
Shut up! You're not finna do this.
You with it?
yeah. But you get the hand sanitizer and everything.
I'm sanitized and I'm ready.
Man, listen, you are within compliance, sir.
Okay, so before we get into the meat and potatoes, just getting your thoughts on that world opening back up, Chicago going into phase 4, Orlando being in 2.5, and New York just going into phase 2 today.
My thoughts on it
right
is
here. Mind your business.
My thoughts on it is,
the way, at least the way they was making it seem like it was really bad in New York. So I, you know, I felt like they would be behind everybody just because, I mean, if you was paying attention when it was happening in the beginning, they was like calling New York ground zero, so to speak, for the coronavirus spread. So I knew it would be a while before they would catch up. It's still a lot of cities like behind like that. Like, I don't think LA is really loosening up right now.
Yeah,
one of my closest friends live there.
Mine too.
Yeah, so I don't think they opening up right now. I don't know. I mean, we'll see over time, but I don't know if it was the best thing for us to like pop back out the way we did. So, I mean, this is something we've never seen before. So it's just going. I feel like it's going to be a lot of trial and error. You know what I'm saying? Until there's a vaccine created or a cure. Like, I just feel like we, like the decision makers are basically like, you know, at this point, what do we do? Do we just keep everybody in the house, or
and
do
keep we giving us money because we still need some type of income to pay our bills?
And that is that is the problem with Florida. That's our issue, right? That's the problem that the governor ran into when he decided to open us back up, because Florida relies heavily on the travel industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we make a majority of our money as far as the state goes.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and so. He caught a lot of flack for shutting down everything during the virus and businesses not opening or not being able to open. And then on top of that, he was getting a lot of flack from business owners as far as reopening.
That's Thunder?
Yeah, that's Thunder. Yeah. But we good. We're inside. Like your grandmama say, just stay away from the window. But he caught a lot of flack from business owners who wanted to reopen. Right during the pandemic, y'all remember all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Them wanting to open up, so he was in a lose-lose situation, you know. Damned if he did, damned if he didn't.
Right.
But instead of catching it from both sides, you might as well just open up the businesses and just have the people still
regulated.
Mad at you. Yeah, I mean that's pretty much all you can do, because Florida's one of those funny states.
Florida don't listen.
No, we don't need to. We do our own thing.
But all right. So, with everything, you know, that's continuing to go on all over the world, I really wanted to talk about mental health.
Man, it's killing me.
See? It's, you hot, ain't you?
Yeah, it's killing me. But I just keep peeping at her.
I really want to talk about mental health in the Black community, especially in our Black men, only because I feel like there's a lot that you guys go through already as Black men. And everything else going on currently, although it's never not been a thing, I just feel like now it's becoming more common, and we're seeing it way more often. So I just feel like on top of other personal struggles or cultural struggles that you guys go through, this doesn't help.
Right.
It adds another layer of, damn, I just make sure I make it back to my home or my family or my girl or my kids, whoever. So I just, why do you feel like in our society, it's frowned upon for men to express themselves when it's not anger?
It's a combination of things. I think the main thing, one of the main things is not growing up with people who are going to teach you that it's okay to express yourself or to let them know when you have a problem. When you grow up as a Black male or female, in any family household, most of us have heard several different quotes or responses from, like, your grandma, your mama, your daddy, you know, something like, what goes on in this house stays in this house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't talk about my feelings with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's for white folk.
Mm-hmm.
Black folk, we got this. I'm going to just go to Jesus and pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. You grow
That's
up.
That's the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
Pray and let it go.
Yeah, I'm going to take it to church or whatever. You grow up with things like that. And part of it is because your parents or your grandparents don't know any better. They didn't have that person that they could talk to. Or they didn't know that there were people that you could talk to. And it's part of it is it's frowned upon in the Black community. So going to talk to someone or tell them about your problems makes you seem crazy or weak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the problem as far as Black males growing up and having mental health issues.
What about you, Rashawn?
Yeah, so he definitely hit on a lot of good topics. I definitely think that a lot of the preconceived notions about, like, black men, period, it comes from a time way before we existed. And, you know, it's just kind of passed down. Like, I remember growing up and, you know, it was like, boys don't cry, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, in our adolescent years, that's when we most impressionable. So, like, you know, when I'm trying to discover myself, trying to learn things, you know, all I hear is boys don't cry. I'm talking about something could hurt like hell. Yeah. You over there got your fist balled up. You
gotta hold it in.
Yeah, you gotta hold it in, because mm-hmm. that's all you know. That's all you've been told your whole life. Like, you know, we don't cry. So, you know, the first man to cry, the first black man to cry, you know, you just feel like he broke. So what we try to do is, like, give me some more. I could take whatever you could throw at me without never, like, really releasing. You know, crying is just like a release, bro. It's like a start over. It's like a start fresh. It's like a, damn, bro, that happened. You acknowledging that happened, that hurt me. Mm-hmm. And when I say cry, I'm speaking to a multitude of things. Like, whether you actually crying tears or you pulled up on somebody that you trust and you expressed yourself and you told them, like, nah, that really hurt me. Like, no right. matter who you may think I am in stature or who the world may think I am or how many people fuck with me, like, that hurt me. That hurt mm-hmm. my feelings. And I could say that. And let's talk about that, da, 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 da. And that, like, all that is crying out for help, crying real tears, just crying out for some type of praise. All that is crying. And, you know, unfortunately, in our communities, especially if, you know, you grew up in, like, an urban community, like, you know, crying for the weak. So the toughest man, like, he just could take the most. That's really what they're judging it off of.
How do you break that, though, as far as not – with our age group, right? Because I know when kids are young, it's easier for them to, or for you to let them know it's okay to cry. You hurt, right. Your feelings hurt somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel your emotions. Mm-hmm. So how do you instill that or help somebody that's older see everything that they were told when they were little is just not accurate?
Well, they have to be willing to accept that they have a issue or a problem. Mm-hmm. Identify that problem and then work with that. So you'll never be able to get to someone who always denies that they have a problem or issue. It's hard to convince children's parents that the way that they were brought up is wrong or can be done differently. And you don't have to raise your child this way.
Right.
Yeah, you can't tell a parent nothing about
it. No, parent. Because we're all navigating this thing we call life, and nobody has the handbook on parenting, and it's tough. It's real tough. And I think really what we should do is be able to sit with parents and tell them that it's okay to have conversations with their children. Because in the black community, you don't have conversations with your children. You just tell them what to do. You know, for the most part, like, you do what I say, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. At least when I was growing up, you know what I'm saying.
That's how I was growing up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are some families out there who do have conversations at the dinner table or whatever. But for the most part, when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, kids did what you told them to,
mm-hmm.
and that was pretty much it. So it's hard, but the conversation needs to be had. And there are ways to have that conversation with a group of black people who get together every week, usually on Sundays around 11 or 12 o'clock.
So
at the church, you know, is a great platform to educate people, but we don't use it. Preachers and pastors don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
They use that time for what they think it should be used for. And I think it could be used for so much more. So that's my take on that.
Me personally, I just think we have to, as a whole, like, and I just want everybody that's listening to understand, like, when I answer these questions, I'm just speaking from a majority point of view. I think we have to become better listeners. I think we, unfortunately, like, to speak to what he was saying, like, in the black community, we wasn't really taught to be listeners. Like, we taught to respond. It's like, you know, we talk in a way that's like, I'll give you one. So, like, growing up in the black community, like you said, you don't talk. You don't talk back to mom, right? Why I gotta do that? Because I said so, boy. You challenging my authority, mm-hmm. you know that, and that's kind of how you, that's kind of how you grow up. It's just because I said so. There's no explanation of everything. And if you was young enough and you had like white friends growing up, you know we would always say this thing like, well, I could never talk to my mama like that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But why? All your white friends was doing was you know having conversation with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what we was admitting is that. At an early age, we couldn't talk to our parents.
Correct.
It was just because, boy, I said so.
Mm-hmm.
So right early on, they teaching us, like, to not be able to have effective communication with somebody
that
we find in an authoritative figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you already conditioning the mind, like, okay, this is an authoritative figure. I don't question that. What they say goes. Like,
correct.
You don't even realize, but that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
At that early age, you have the power to shape those conversations and how we react to those conversations.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So... and the second part of your question, like, how do we begin to fix that? Brother gave a good answer. You know, the church has a great responsibility. If you want to be held to a higher standard, it comes with great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But on a like a personal level with me, man, it's just about listening. Like, and listening, I mean, like, truly listening. So, like, to keep it real, I got my own shit going on. So I can't, like, call my boys and listen every day.
Right.
That'll be fake.
Right.
So, but I do hit them up. And when I do hit them up, it's to genuinely listen, to get them a person to express themselves to when I'm in that mode. Because I feel like if I could listen to you,
you can listen to me.
Right.
Correct.
And it go both ways.
Right. And if I could listen to you once a week, rather than just talking to my dog every day and just be like, boy, what you got going on? But as soon as you tell me what you got going on, I'm like, shit, you trying to link Saturday? Like, you know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I call it this. You ever been like walking and your homeboy ride by, be like, bruh, you drop the window, be like, bruh, you straight.
Yeah.
And no matter what you say, he's still finna pull off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It don't matter, bro. It's just that's just how we speak. We not really checking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We not really checking. So, you know, when I learned that, when I hit my boys up, I'm just really trying to see what's going on.
Are you
know
okay?
What I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing that you do that. Because not all the time will somebody respond to it the way that you think they're going to respond to
mm-hmm.
it.
It breaks them even more.
Right. So your intention may
so
may
you
have
tried
been,
to open up, but the person you tried to open up to wasn't reciprocated.
Right. But everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a different way of expressing themselves. So it might not come the first 2 or 3 weeks that you call them and be like, hey, bro, what's going on?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, true.
What's happening? You know, it may take a traumatic experience for him to be like, oh, okay, well, let me talk to you about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he might not say it like that. He just may be talking to you about, you know, his baby mama or whatever.
But
and then after an hour, he gets to what he wants to talk about. For real.
Yeah.
But also, well, let me pause because Nat the Pooh just walked in.
The Pooh.
What's good?
I see you on that girl.
I thought that was going on.
Yeah.
What's going on? What's going on?
So I know you just walked in, but
I brought gifts too. We'll talk about that
you
later.
You did.
Oh, man.
She brought me some food.
About.
But I also
Whoa.
Got everybody some cheesecake that I made.
Cheesecake.
Wow. I mean, I got cheesecake too?
Yes.
Then that's okay. So.
But you already got another gift.
That's not. Cheesecake. I mean, I like to eat. I like some food.
Oh, okay.
She
and baby could throw down.
I got another one for her. She need another slice. Don't worry about
okay,
it.
Okay. So, but I just want
to. You ain't bring nothing for us all to try?
Yeah,
What happened was.
Right. I would have been extra.
No, but I want to get your. Because you came in on. In like the beginning of talking about why black men feel like they can't express themselves, and since it's been from a young age, and with you having a young son, I just want to know how do you feel like it can be changed now with our generation, people our age that's been conditioned to don't talk about it, you're gonna talk about it, men don't cry, to how are you gonna redirect that image to your son?
Right. Well. This is a big deal for me when I think about my son, and I'm thinking about it on a regular basis. Like, no matter how I talk to him, when I'm upset, when I'm not upset, when I'm excited, when I'm going through my own stuff, like, I tell people a lot of times I'm very transparent with him,
mm-hmm.
like, very straight up. Like, he's seen me cry and get upset. You know what I'm saying? He's seen me get upset with him where I have to walk away and take a deep breath or, you know, like, and I acknowledge it out loud. And mm-hmm. I think that's so important, because I kind of caught on to the tail end of what he was saying about, you know, when you don't have the opportunity to talk to your parents about that growing up, like our generation. And that's male and female. I feel like our generations in general struggle mm-hmm. with being able to express themselves mm-hmm. About their emotions and stuff like that. But, yeah, so for me, I'm very big on calling it as what it is. So even when he gets upset, like I see him get this rage in him mm-hmm. and he gets, now he's two, he just turned two. And so he, like, all y'all parents out there, y'all disrespectful, because you ain't say, with terrible twos does not define.
No, it's on a different level.
It's a whole nother level.
It's a whole different level.
Yeah, man. And I understand that it's cognitive, really, is mm-hmm. what, when people say terrible twos, it's because they're like at this point in their life where they get it.
They're coming into their own.
Right. Yeah. They're starting to understand, like, oh, I could actually do some stuff by myself.
Right.
So it's like, I don't need your help anymore.
Correct.
You know, so cognitively, when we say terrible twos, it's really, this is the prime phase of him understanding his emotions, mm-hmm. I feel like. And so, you know, when he gets really upset, I say, man, I know you're upset. I know you're angry. I know you're frustrated, because he doesn't know what those words mean, right? We know because we're adults. We've grown to understand that. Mm-hmm. But I call his emotions out as what they are, so that when he is old enough to
start talking,
yeah, he can say, mommy, I'm upset, or mommy, I'm angry, or mommy, you know, whatever. And I tell him, we can't handle it like this. He gets really mad. He throws his head back. He's doing this whole, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I was like, if this boy was 16 right yeah, now,
whatever this was,
I couldn't hang him up right now. Like,
I'm going to flip it over.
Yeah. No, like, I'm going to flip it over in your face.
Mm-hmm, yeah, like, look at you, like.
Yeah, like,
pick that up.
You thought I was finna pick it
thought
up?
Thought I was
done. Because all of a sudden, I don't know how to pick stuff up.
Yeah.
And you like, and you a kid, so in your parent, in your mind as a parent, you like, well, maybe he forgot.
Right.
You know, so you try not to get mad.
Right, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but no, in all seriousness, when it comes to my son, it's so real, bro. But, I'm very big on calling out my emotions, calling out his emotions, being transparent when I'm feeling upset. He knows. I see that he's learning, because if I'm upset about something, I've gotten to points where I'm really like boohoo crying and got to walk out because I got stuff going on. And he'll now he does this thing where he'll be like, mommy. Like, and he's waiting for me to say yes baby.
Aww.
And if I don't say baby, or if I don't say yes or whatever, he knows, okay, mommy's still upset. So, like, he'll just kind of be in the area. Like, he'll just lay on me, or
like,
he'll just...
like, check on you.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I've noticed that it's starting to help that I call those things out, or that I acknowledge those things, or he sees me in my state to know that mommy needs a minute. Or even though you're a baby, you can still make me upset. Like, don't think that you, because I'm your mom, you can't make me upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I think we try to hide those things a lot of times from our kids. We even try to hide them from friends, like mm-hmm. you were saying.
Right.
And I mental health is so oh my god, it's such a big portion of my life, mm-hmm. especially since I've become a parent. And not just because of my son, but because of how it shifts you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, our generation, really what it comes down to is our generation is in a struggle because we need to heal. And I think our generation has a lot of hurt. We come from a lot of single-parent homes. We come from a lot of brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
We've grown up in the midst of a lot of brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing things being exposed openly that maybe weren't exposed in generations before, unless they lived
were,
it.
Yeah.
Unless they lived in it.
And
like,
you had house phones. You didn't have no cell phones. So, I mean...
Facts.
Yeah.
You weren't walking down the street or in the bedroom or whoever you met at in the living room. You know, talking on your cell phone, texting. I'm finna kick it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it
right.
wasn't. No, it wasn't it. That.
Yeah. No. We are. This is a different generation. So
huge.
I think this generation within itself has a greater responsibility, mm-hmm. right? Because we have the ability to access information, with the
facts.
Click of a button,
mm-hmm.
or the swipe of a finger,
mm-hmm.
or you know what I'm saying, whatever. And no fault of their own, our parents and grandparents, they didn't have.
Definitely.
Access to this information, so
they were
ignorant, you know what I'm saying, and I mean that in the most respectful way possible,
right.
about mental health issues, and they didn't know how to handle them when it came to some people, you know. Ricky Smiley has a few characters that he does. Precious
mm-hmm.
is one of them. Lil Daryl,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we laugh at that stuff because we know that we know people in our
that's
family
like that.
That are like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have identified that there is a problem in the Black community, but they didn't necessarily know how to fix it. And yes, like Natalie was saying, mental health is important. It is just as important as physical health.
Yes.
If I was over here right now, Nikki, and I was like, my stomach hurt, and you know, I feel like I can't breathe.
you wouldn't tell me, like, you know, suck it up or whatever, whatever. Right, you know what I'm saying? You probably got a tummy ache. You would tell me, like, yeah, you need to go get checked out.
Around the corner.
Right, you know what I'm saying? We need to call 911 or something. You know, you try to figure it out. Right. But with people with mental health issues, we tend to turn them away and be like, oh, you'd be all right.
You know what was to me, before I make my next comment, I think what was, I just lost my thought. Oh, what was really dope to me is the last Joker movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they portrayed
great movie
a person with mental health, mm-hmm. how they actually see everything else.
Correct.
And one of the quotes from the movie was, the problem with mental health is everybody expects you to walk around like nothing is wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, I didn't like the movie. It was too this, it was too that. But the movie is real life, because there's a whole lot of people walking around,
mm-hmm.
that we see every day,
right,
that are going through stuff, and we're just like, well, you're supposed to act like nothing is wrong.
And one of the great things about the movie that I really appreciated is that how many people he was able to convince to be on his side.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Everybody that was with the Joker in that movie identified with him, regardless if he had a mental health or mental illness, I should say.
Right.
At all. Because at first, when he started doing this stuff and he was on like the talk show, people were like, oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe you're saying that and this and that. But it took for him to explain it, right? And he had thousands of people like protecting him and going out and causing chaos because they understood and they identified with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they accepted that. And whatever he said went. You see what I'm saying? So there are a lot more people out there than we realize who have a mental illness. Because
mm-hmm.
mental health and mental illness is different.
Mm-hmm.
The mental health part of it is the overall well-being of your mind. Mm-hmm. Right? Mental illness is the way that it affects you. It affects the way you think, feel, and or behave. That's a mental illness. Okay? So mental health can be, your mental health can be good or bad. Or I guess indifferent. I'm not sure if there's a middle part of that. But then you can have a mental illness.
So back to saying, you know, it's the small things of your friends just texting you like, are you okay? I mean, of course, like Rashawn said, you have those friends that no matter what you say, they leaving. Or it's like, damn, bro, that's crazy. Like, no matter what you say.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I hope everybody in their life has at least two people that they know they can call with whatever, whenever time, no matter what. Like, that person, they got you. They will be there to listen. And I was talking about this with a group of friends of mine, or I actually went live last week to get a couple people's input.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple different women told me, you know, how do they create that safe space for a man to actually be vulnerable? Because like we said, right. It's a heavy question, whoa. But like we
I have
said,
so many answers.
I know, like we said, you know, you've been conditioned from a little boy, toughen up, suck it up, don't cry, da da da. And I know for me specifically, I've had a lot of my male friends vent to me. That's fine. I don't mind. Talk. I'm always here to talk no matter what I'm doing. If I'm at work, I will call you on my break. I'm always here to listen. It's not a problem. But recently, a few of my male friends have actually, like, been vulnerable and let a couple tears fall. And mm-hmm. I'm appreciative, because that means that I create some type of safe space for you to know that I'm not going to look at you any different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to be here for you. You can talk to me about whatever. It's a whole... I feel like it takes your friendship to another level when you let that side of you show. Because not everybody sees that. You know what I mean?
I think for females... I have the luxury of having experiences with a lot of guy friends who feel like, nah, I could just be me with you and I could just be comfortable and I could just, you know, like, it's effortless, right? And I don't know that it's a matter of us creating an environment as much as it is us knowing where we stand, mm-hmm. like, as women. Mm-hmm. So, like, as a woman, when you know what your capacity is to take on, right, emotionally, when you know what you can receive from a man or even from a person in general, when you know what mm-hmm. capacity you have to receive other people's burdens and carry those things,
mm-hmm.
then you have the ability to say, okay, I can allow for me to be in a space where I don't feel like I have to pour out. So now he feels comfortable enough when we're around each other that it's not always me
mm-hmm.
pouring out. And so like you were saying, I think having those friends too, you have to designate those friends because
not everybody's that friend at all.
You can't pour out to everybody.
And that's not because of them. It's just they may not know how. Yeah,
right. And so I think it goes a lot to the person who's receiving. So as a woman, you have to be secure within your own mental health. Even if you do have mental health issues, that's not to say you can't receive what other people mm-hmm. have to say, but you have to acknowledge, okay, if I struggle from depression and my homeboy is depressed and he wants to pour that out on me, mm-hmm. then I have to understand there's a limit, right?
Yeah.
So I'm cool with talking about it because we can connect, we mm-hmm. can relate, but I can't allow...
You can't download everything on
right.
me. I can't handle it.
And you have to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be honest. Like, if you've created that trust and that honesty in a relationship to say, hey, bro, like, I love you with all my heart, but I'll be honest right now, like, everything you're giving me is a little too much, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. But I respect it, and I want to get back to it whenever you're ready, mm-hmm. but right now I can't receive that, you know? Mm-hmm. Or even saying, hey, bro, like, hitting them up, checking on them, hey, mm-hmm. I am available right now, whether
right.
you're ready or not,
right.
just so you know, mm-hmm. you know? So as a woman creating that environment, I mean, you have to be secure within yourself as a woman before you allow a man, before you think you're going to create an environment for a man to just be...
Open
and vulnerable.
All the way open.
And that's,
yeah.
and that's for anybody. That,
yeah.
I mean, that goes the opposite way as well. Women need to talk to someone too. And
right.
for the most part, it could be the person that they're dealing with or it could be a friend.
Right.
You know, who knows? But I mean, there are a few general things that you can do when you are with someone who you think is trying to connect with you.
Right.
And try to get something off of their chest, right? You can be that listening ear,
mm-hmm.
you know,
actually listening,
actually listening.
Y'all had that conversation,
right?
Because everybody you talk to doesn't need their problem solved by you.
Say it again.
Everybody you talk to does not need their problem solved by you. They're not necessarily coming to you because you're this life guru. Mm-hmm. Who's going to give them this information or this advice, and then you just go on and live the rest of your life happily ever after. Sometimes you just need somebody to talk to. And
they might not even make sense.
Right. You could just be in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the right time. Who knows? But just be that listening ear that they need. Non-judgmental,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't judge anybody when they're trying to tell you some serious shit,
mm-hmm.
right? Uh-huh. So no judging. Mm-hmm. And you got to be kind.
Actually, no right. judging.
Yeah, and you got and you got to be
That's
kind.
Hard.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear some of the stories
not
that people
not be kind. I'm talking about the judgment. Part.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's
depending on who you're
depending
talking
on who you talk to.
But then that goes back to know who you are. Download
right.
that, and also know what friend you're downloading.
Correct, because some people have some wild stories.
Man, I feel like this. I'm glad y'all said that. I personally feel like the judgment thing. Like, if we all just kind of, like, internalize what we got going on, and, you know, what makes, I think we all capable of things that we don't want to admit that we're capable of.
Uh-huh.
What makes us good people is, like, never acting on those things. You know what I'm saying? Like, how I put this in better words, right? She was just speaking on depression. Think about most of your days mm-hmm. in that 24-hour span. Mm-hmm. You probably feel every emotion.
For
the
sure.
reason
no
why
facts.
The reason why you don't walk around, and I'm not saying you literally, I'm just using it as an example because I don't mm-hmm. know you personally, but the reason why you don't walk around and say you're a depressed person is because depression is not the one that you feel the most. Mm-hmm. But you can't sit here and say there's not a point
not,
in your day where you don't
you
feel that
been.
Anymore.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Every day I wake up, I be happy, I be excited, I be annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a work thing, a personal
right.
thing, a call
mm-hmm.
I didn't want in that
mm-hmm.
time of the day. I be annoyed. I be depressed. You know, we grind for a position
mm-hmm.
or something, and we get it, and we like, it didn't feel the way I thought it would feel. I want more.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we all feel the range of emotions. The only thing that why people might say, oh, he a happy person, and she's always super excited because that's the one she's acting on the most. That's the one you show the most.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is what I show the most. When we say a person depressed, it's not that they never happy
ever.
At any point
yeah.
of their day.
Right.
That's just what they're feeling the most. So I say that to say I don't think it's hard. I think it's just being honest with yourself. And, you know, the reality, what's going on right now, especially with this generation, the reality is, like, man, people are pretending with the people that they calling they sis and they bro.
Right.
Yeah.
Say that.
They pretending.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing that makes it hard.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, man, I know I felt, I'm not a depressed person. I'm super, like, you know what it is, but I felt depression before. So if somebody, if one of my boys coming to me and this is their mood, I can you listen can recognize because I've been there.
Right. Yeah,
right. I may not have stayed there, but I've been there. I've visited. You know what I'm saying? So I can hear you out. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you live in Hawaii, but I spent a couple weeks there, bro, we got something to talk about.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So I just think when we, like, that's my friend, but we trying to be above our friend. We like, oh, girl, you depressed? I'm straight over here.
Right.
You ever had relationship problems and you try to tell and they like, oh, no, I don't know what you're
like,
talking about.
Like, we don't got no problem.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody got a problem.
That's kind of what I'm trying to say. As long as we, like, super honest with ourselves, anybody could talk to me. Because if I'm honest with myself and know, like, I ain't got it as bad as you, but I've been there, bro. Let me hear you out.
And that's exactly what we was talking about earlier. Like, not everybody is that person you can talk to, right? Not everybody is able to sit there and listen to someone else tell them a sad story or something that they have going on. We all have a certain level of anxiety that we feel every day. Anxiety technically is a mental illness, you know, but when you think about things that you don't really have no control over, that's anxiety. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get this promotion today.
You know what I'm saying? Butterflies, that's anxiety.
Right. That's anxiety.
Right.
But to go on what you were talking about, what kind of muddies the waters a little bit is that when you talk to people that you care about, right, and you listen to them, sometimes you feel obligated to want to chime in or help them.
And connect,
and try to connect in a certain way. And you can't always do that.
Because you might not always connect. Because,
You may understand it, but you don't necessarily know what to do.
I think that's so big because I used to be a corporate trainer for customer service, right, in hospitality. And I used to tell my agents when I train them all the time, I say, whenever somebody, an owner calls you and you're talking to them and they're calling you with something that's heavy or they're calling you with heavy emotion or they say, hey, I just lost my husband or I just, you know, and it doesn't even have to be that severe, but just in this scenario, you know, automatically our culture says, I'm sorry, my condolences, right?
Yeah.
Or, oh my goodness, I can't imagine what, you know, whatever, or not even, oh my goodness, but just, I'm sorry.
Right.
A lot of people like to say, I'm so sorry to hear that. Like, and I always told them, and this was a huge, like, as adult learners, I think this was the hardest thing for them to understand was you can't, like you were saying, you can't understand because it's not your situation. If I lose my mom, you lose your mom, you lose your mom, you lose your mom. We all have different relationships.
With our mothers.
Right. So I always tell them, and this is just a little tip, I guess. Whenever somebody comes to you and they're sharing those things with you, like, unless that's somebody that you rock with, and you could just dive right into it, you know, just say, you know, I can't imagine what you may be going through.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, I can only imagine what you may be going through because the fact of the matter is you don't know. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's it. Sometimes that's all you need to say.
Right.
And that goes back to what you were saying because I was going to ask you, do you think this is, maybe I'm biased because I'm a female, but as a female, you know how to go.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have started with that, huh?
You shouldn't
have. You led with that. Yeah. People.
Yeah. I'm biased and I'm a female.
Well.
And as a female. No, but in all seriousness, when you said that people don't always want their problems fixed, I feel like as women, just from the relationships I've been in, men have a tendency to be fixers, right? They have a tendency to be the ones who
want to be fixers.
Because,
you know, because
that's who you
right.
So I guess my question is, like, I can say I've probably experienced that in every single relationship. Like, probably every single relationship.
I definitely want to get on.
I was just going to say, as a man, because I can't tell you frequency for you as a man, would you say that it's frequent that you, the times you've dated women who are always trying to fix, or do you find that you are generally the one trying to fix?
They are always trying to fix?
I feel like I'm usually the one usually trying to fix, whether it's part of my problem or not.
I'm
usually the one.
Step one, ladies and gentlemen.
Step one is identifying the problem.
Right.
Identifying the problem is step one. Okay.
I hope everybody just learned from him.
That man was brutally honest.
I'm usually the one trying to fix things. All right. And I probably had a hand in that. You know. Conversation may be about myself personally, you know, but that's neither here nor there. But it's natural. It's natural for a man, for a black man in particular,
for sure,
to want to fix things or fix your issue. Because if you're somebody that we really, really care about, our wife, our girl, our mom, our daughter, or whomever, it breaks our heart to see you going through something and to say, well, there's nothing I can do. That is one of the toughest things as a man, with someone that they're very, very close to, that they love with all their heart, have to say, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything for you. You see what I'm saying? So that's part of what hurts us as a community, because mm-hmm. as black men themselves, they don't know what to do, and then they offer solutions and help, and then it doesn't help. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And it ends up hurting even more. Mm. You know? So it's tough. It's tough. And it's, like I said, it's a conversation that everybody needs to have, not just black men, because we are connected to our black women who are connected to our black children. You understand what I'm saying?
I feel like it goes... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I think that was a really, really, really good question. I definitely want to answer that. So, I feel like it has
not
been...
Not the chuckle.
Nah, because...
Yeah, no, he about to say something off the wall.
No, because that name went past his head. And he's like, I'm trying not to talk about it.
Yeah, you're about to throw it off the glass.
Right.
Yeah, like T-Mac.
That's a great question, bro. Nah, but I do feel like... So I have to give a little context to the question. I was raised by a single parent mom, mm-hmm. Strong black woman. You know, we don't get to... What's crazy, like, we don't get to pick the hand that we dealt.
Come on.
Some people, like, single parent home, like, mom struggling too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, y'all going through it together. So I had the luxury. Yeah, I didn't have a dad in the household, but I had the luxury of, like, being raised by a strong black woman. So, like, and she had me young. So although we was learning together, mm-hmm. she was, like, a great provider. And, you know, she knew early on, though she didn't have all the answers, she knew early on what she wanted. So, like, you know, being young and just, like, trying to be put up on game, I saw what my mom allowed. I saw what my mom, like, requested, mm-hmm. you know, accepted, didn't accept, shit like that. Right. So, you know, as a man, as a young man, you know, you putting you on game, you know, like, and even though, you know, as you get older and you look back on things and you like, damn, I ain't like the fact that my mom did that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I love the fact that my mom did that. Like, right. So certain qualities you taking and you like, damn, I want this from a woman, right?
Right.
So then you start.
So y'all do date to try to date your moms on
nah,
the
low. But not.
No, because I'm just saying, because y'all always saying we try to date our daddies.
No,
so I'm just asking.
That's not what I said.
No, I'm just asking.
That's not what I said.
Because that's what I heard.
I'm not even going to let that go to my mama's head. Yeah, that's not what I said, mom. What I said was, you showed me qualities that I liked in women. That's what I said.
Yeah.
I never said that because my mama be calling me tomorrow like, mm-hmm.
Right.
That nah, mom.
That you would prefer,
that I would prefer.
In a woman. Right. Right. Like cooking.
Right.
And, you know
but listen, I'm sorry.
But
this, what I said.
That, I will not let that slide. Talking about like cooking.
But that's about it though.
All right then.
But it goes.
No, I'm just kidding.
Great respect to my mama, but like you know, and she also showed me things that I didn't want to do. That's very important.
Right.
She
right,
also
right.
showed me things.
Absolutely.
You know
absolutely.
And she was learning though. We were learning together. I'm like, damn man.
Right.
I want to deal with that. Da 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 da. And I say this to say, yeah, I think you know, like culturally, that's just. What we've been taught, like, oh, I don't want to be with no nigga that, you know, can't do this, or I don't want to be with no daughter that can't do this. So, I got most of my boys, like, you know some of the things they say, and I don't know if this is a society thing, but it still goes to that question, what you saying, they be like, one of my boys, they'll see a shawty that they, like, got their eye on them, like, but when I get my bag up, I'm on her ass, right there. That's the problem.
The problem is when you get on your bag.
When I get my bag, because why? He feels like
he's not enough.
It more goes to your question. He feels like in order to get her, he has to be able to solve all her problems. Because that's what he think the bag gonna do. You see what I'm saying?
Dang, just put us on game.
Yeah, it's deeper. Like okay. I hear a lot of my boys saying like, yeah, but when I get the bag, I won't. Like you know, they'll pick out. Yeah. You know who they feel like is their top. Because
they feel like
cheating.
They have to be at a
yeah,
certain
and
place
like when I get it back. So basically, what you in return saying? You saying when I have enough money that can be able to solve all her problems, then she'll look at me.
When we don't have to worry about
nothing. Yeah, when you got to worry about nothing. Right. So you know, and of course,
dang,
you know,
that hurts. Yeah. I hate that y'all feel that way.
You know, and of course, you know me growing up,
and it's subconscious, low key.
And you know,
well, I don't feel like I'm never,
nah, I don't feel
I'm,
that way.
I can't stand either
I'm
one of y'all.
I don't feel that way. I'm
look, all the empathy out the window.
Right, all
the empathy out the window.
We just created a moment.
I'm never going to get a bag. All right, I don't work hard. I'm looking for someone to take care of me.
No,
all
right.
You know how much I can't stand you. Hold on, ladies. Hold on. One more time.
I'm never going to get a bag. I don't work hard. I'm looking for someone to take care of me. All right, this nail. Hit me up on Facebook.
I'm done.
I'm crying.
But go ahead.
But yeah, so I just think it stems from that. Like, you know, we really just be trying to, like, be a part of our environment. So I think it stems from that. And then I think, like, you know, so as I was a young dude dating, and, like, now who I am today, like, you know, some of those things I got rid of. Like, yeah, I did feel that way once upon a time, young dude. I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, boy, get up on my shit, da, 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 da. And then I started noticing, like, man, shit, I bring a lot to the table, bag or not.
Come on.
Not to say that I don't want a bag, or I'm not chasing it, or I'm not straight on my end.
But if you
But die. Really, it's like, in this how everybody supposed to feel. Shit, I'm the catch, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Come
I'm
on.
So I can't solve all your problems. Sometimes you're right, I ain't gonna be able to solve your problems, but I'm gonna listen.
Right. Yeah.
And I think what women respect more than anything, they may not know it at first. I'll even say that. But it's just honesty.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because look, I was telling one of my dogs, I say, bro, all you do is show money, right? On the internet, all you do is show money. I ain't saying my dog name. But all my
dogs. All your dogs know exactly who you talking about right now.
All my dogs do is flash money, right?
We don't like them.
So then he said,
I'm about to say, we'll be the first to let you know.
Hold on. Then he said, every chick he get, like, damn, bro,
she always want my money.
That's your fault. Let me say this.
When you go to the store and you looking for the shampoo and you looking at the different ones and you just trying to decide which one to buy, you buying the one that you think is marketed to you the best. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You are buying the one that you think is marketed to you the best.
So you just marketed yourself.
So if that's what you marketing, when that young lady get with you, what you think she want from you, bro?
A couple hundred?
Yeah.
Man, listen. Listen, whether I got
what you showing?
Hey, whether I got bands on me.
And girls mm-hmm. these days want a handy bottle with it. So what did you say?
No, Nikki wants a handy bottle.
No, Nikki does not want a handy bottle.
I'm gonna speak to your homeboy because I don't know them. All right, but what you said is very important.
It is, bro.
You are the catch,
right, bro?
And everything valuable doesn't cost a lot of money. You know, understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can still have value,
right,
and not have a lot of money on you.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
And that goes back to value versus worth. And mm-hmm. that, to me, that's something that I heard recently a speaker talk about. And he put it like this. If you walk into a store and you see an outfit, it's tailor-made, it's tailor-fit for you, right? You like, oh, that's fly, whatever. You go, you try it on, boom, fits perfectly. You look at the tag and you like, nah,
right.
Can't do that.
Yeah. Right.
It ain't
put
worth
it back
this.
On the rack. Somebody else walk in, same frame, same inches, put the same outfit on, like, oh, yeah, I gotta get this. Look at the tag, like, oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Right. So, like, his point was you can't determine your worth. And that's where a lot of people mess up. It's like, we be like, oh, I'm worth that. I'm worth this. And, oh, no, you can determine your value, but you can't determine how much you're worth to somebody.
To somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
Walk in who you are, bro.
I'm going to say a couple things. I'm going to read some comments because we got a couple comments.
Uh-oh. Comment time.
Right. So the first thing I'm going to say is it's not always hurtful to the men that feel like they can't help when their woman is telling them about a problem. Sometimes we feel that way too. Like, damn, I know he's hurting
to help, and I can't help.
That, to be honest, I feel like I don't know how bad or how hurtful it makes y'all feel, but I know for a female, it's like, damn, bro, like, because we're supposed to nurture. We're supposed to provide, just the same way y'all supposed to provide certain stuff for us, we're supposed to provide certain things for you guys.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how he feels, but I think this is really good to say. Like, depending on the man the type of man you're dealing with, and I don't know if I can speak for every man on this, so that I'm glad he's here. But me personally, like, that need to be a conversation that's had or something, because for me, it's just all about, look, sometimes me and you not going to be able to solve this problem.
Correct.
But what's comfortable about it is that
I can let it out.
Yeah. I could cry to you.
Yeah.
I could talk about it. Just
rub
my damn back.
That's it.
It don't even matter. Just tell me it's going to be all right.
Even
if we don't know how it's going to be all right, you're saying that because we're both fighters, right?
Yeah.
That's literally why you're saying that. Yeah. It's going to be all right because I know you're a fighter, and guess what? I got your back. So shit, let's just lay down, just knowing it's gonna be all
right.
We don't gotta have a solution today.
Right now, right.
So I think that's what it is. Sometimes and I start thinking about myself, and that's how I start reacting to the women that was in my life. It's like, shit, do I really want to answer all the time? No.
Right.
You just kind of want somebody there that's like, man, fuck that too. It ain't really about the solution.
Right,
it's about you got me.
Like, you want to be like, bro, wasn't I trying? He'd be like, yeah, babe, they tried.
And
they tried.
That's all you want. Like, yeah, they tried me.
And I don't want them to misinterpret what I said, okay? I think there might be slight confusion. I
cleared up now.
Yeah. So what I was saying was, is it hurts men for women, for their woman or women in their life to come to them with an issue and them not being able to solve.
That works both ways.
It's even hurtful for us when y'all want to and we know you can't.
Can't.
That hurts me.
My point is that
even more like I want to be able to give him the resources so he can give me the resources so I can feel better.
Correct. Because you may want us to help you, but what I'm saying is it's okay to say I don't know.
Right.
I can't.
That's huge.
You see what I'm saying?
But that was transparency. That was right. That goes back to it has to be a conversation.
Right. That was my whole point.
And that goes back to the vulnerability. If you haven't created that environment.
It's okay to say we'll figure it out.
Right. Yeah.
Let me get to some comments.
Okay.
So, my baby Ming, she said, y'all supposed to grow together. Not matter how much you think you got it together, you still have growing up to do at any phase of your life.
That's true. Yeah. It's a constant struggle. You navigate this thing we call life
together
or by yourself or whatever until you find somebody. Right. But yeah, I mean that's the purpose.
When you find somebody, you're still working. You're still growing together.
Can we please get that out of our minds?
You're still growing together. Can everybody please?
I know a lot of people feel like
they think they got it.
Yeah, like ooh, I'm gonna get to this point, and when I get to this point, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And it's like no, because who are you? You don't. If you're 30, you don't know who the 35-year-old you is. You don't know who the 40-year-old.
I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm not. The 29-year-old me is not the 27-year-old me.
A little bit. Yeah. Last year's version of me is not this year's version
correct.
Of me.
Correct.
Yesterday's version of me is not.
I'm a whole different animal than I was last year.
And I'm
out of control right now.
And I'll say this, bro.
I'm about the shit.
Oh, shit.
No, I'm out here.
Bro, I cannot stand
don't how much it. I can't
don't,
stand
yeah,
it.
No,
don't do
no.
it, bro. Don't do it.
His
bro.
Face. His face.
No, I pick up the handful of condoms in the barbershop and throw them in the trash. No, I'm out here.
No, shut up, please.
You don't give them out?
No, I don't give them out, man.
So no.
I just think people should think about it this way. This is how I started thinking about it. I used to set all these like little small feats, goals, shit like that. And every time you accomplish one of those things, you satisfied for like this long. You like, damn, boy, I said I was going to do this. I did it. And you like, fuck, now I want to do this. Right. So that should tell you.
It doesn't live long.
That alone should tell you, boy, you ain't never got it together.
Right.
Even when you set your measly goals to where you think, like, boy, this shit going to make me king status. Yeah. You feel like king for a day, sometimes half the day.
Not just that. You can't even be sure you're going to make it to that. So understand that when you, and that's usually what it is, right? We make that goal. We like, oh, when we get there, we like, yeah, I got somebody there with me. But when we fail, we don't want nobody there with us when we fail.
Right.
But I don't want to stop you from reading your comments. Because I know people been wanting to chime in.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Next comment.
All right, we got time. Oh, okay. We got brief time for one more because we got 3 minutes. Okay. And I'm going to get some closing remarks. Right. Back to when we were talking about conversations we never were able to really talk to our parents growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Ming said, and I'm actually really happy she shared this. She said, I tried to commit suicide at 17. I thought I had to work through that shit by myself, and my parents treated me as though I was just a teenage fit, but I was really hurting, and as an adult, I've had to work through that, and I'm blessed to have a mate that's helped me through anxiety, depression, and express myself openly. So who you're with is actually helpful to your mental health and any anxiety that you have, because if they're able to listen and accept you and help you through it and not try to be like, damn, bro, you going through this again? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's important.
Yes, it is. And part of this conversation, like we've talked about talking to people that we care about, talking to people that are close to us, friends, family, and everything else. But it is very important for us as the community to realize that there are people who do this out here professionally. There are professional people out here. They call them therapists.
Yes.
Come on.
There's nothing wrong with being a therapist.
Absolutely nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong.
Go to the doctor when you see
a therapist.
So.
And that's a hard concept for us to understand. It's a hard concept for us to tell our children. There's one in every school, to include college.
Right.
So these are people that you need to talk to if you do not feel like you can talk to someone close to you.
100%.
Yes, this definitely has to be a part two because we're completely because
this
out
is
of
like
time.
This conversation could be like five series.
Literally, this is definitely going to be a part two. But real quick, before you go, No Name Nail, go ahead and tell people where they can find you. Not really nowhere because you're No Name Nail.
Yeah,
no
like name I have absolutely nothing. You have to catch me out in the streets or Facebook. If you got my phone number, hit me up. That means you already know me. But other than that, you can just catch me out here on Slick Talk. On Slick Talk.
If you are in a barbershop and there are no condoms, yeah, was probably
there. Yeah, no, I probably threw away the condoms. Other than that, you know my name. Stop playing with me.
All right, Rayshawn, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's Rayshawn Brown. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, shit, Twitter. I'm everywhere.
I'm not on Christian Mingle, bro.
Let's be real, all the Christians ain't mingling on Christian Mingle.
Yeah, okay. But I was young, bro, I had a little church experience, bro, and that was the most ratchet shit I've ever done.
Oh, that's a whole nother conversation.
Say that for part two.
That's a